But we're sure happy to be here today. Thank you for having us back to the Yuma Pine Church one more time. And we'll share a few songs relating to the Christmas story this time around, but we want to have you sing with us on a couple. First one will be Angels We Have Heard on High. Everybody ready back there?
Let's get a sound check. Yeah, we need a chord. G.
G? Now we're going to go to E. Don't start playing in G. All right, here we go.
Brightly shine, it is the night. faces for yonder breeze, a new and glorious dawn.
For a minute, being Joseph, just a common carpenter, and being told that your girlfriend is pregnant with the Son of God. And what in the world are you supposed to do about this? I cannot imagine. There's a beautiful song that's been written and recorded, I don't know that it was written by, but at least recorded by Michael Card, titled Joseph's Song. I'm going to do an effort to emulate him in singing this song as we think about what it would be like to be Joseph at that time in Earth's history. How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? Son of God, the angel said, my flesh, not of my bones. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his hands and face so fair. When he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to Son of God? And Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be? Going to enjoy a reading now by one of the wives of our group, Becky Thompson. Thank you very much. Yes, why not use that? And I believe that, Keith, if you can just bring that mic live, that'll work. Okay.
All right. From the story of Christmas as recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 2, I'll be reading. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Amen. We have privilege last year a couple of times, and again this year, having the Bryant family join us for our Christmas program. We have Benjamin and Brielle have been part of our early teen Sabbath school class that Clint and I teach over the last few years, and it's been such a treat to have their music. You guys get to enjoy it every once in a while here, as I understand. But Benjamin's going to be doing the song, What Child Is This, for us. And thank you, Benjamin. Rachel Vixie, especially for putting this together. She got her family and some other friends that come from Milton State Line School, and they will add a truly angelic sound to this next song.
Christmas Day. They're all from the earth, bells ring.
That's the funnest part of the program. For me, anyhow.
My favorite books. Chicken Soup. And I have a Christmas story here I want to share with you. It's called The Night the Chimes Rang. Once long ago, a magnificent church stood on a high hill in a great city. When lighted up for a special festival, it could be seen for miles around. And yet, there was something even more remarkable about this church than its beauty. The strange and wonderful legend of the bells. At the corner of the church was a tall gray tower. And at the top of the tower, so people said, was a chime of the most beautiful bells in the world. But the fact that no one had heard the bells for many years, not even on Christmas, for it was the custom on Christmas Eve for all the people to bring to the church their offerings to the Christ child. And there had been a time when a very unusual offering laid on the altar brought glorious music from the chimes far up in the tower. Some said that the wind rang them, and others that the angels set them swinging. But lately, no offering had been great enough to deserve the music of the chimes. Now, a few miles from the city in a small village lived a boy named Pedro and his little brother. They knew very little about the Christmas chimes, but they had heard of the service in the church on Christmas Eve, and they decided to go to see the beautiful celebration. The day before Christmas was bitterly cold, with a hard white crust on the ground. Pedro and his little brother started out early in the afternoon, and despite the cold, they reached the edge of the city by nightfall. They were about to enter one of the great gates when Pedro saw something dark on the snow near the path. It was a poor woman who had fallen just outside the city, too sick and tired to get in where she might have found some shelter. Pedro tried to rouse her. But she was barely conscious. "It's no use, little brother. You will have to go alone." "Without you?" cried the little brother. Pedro nodded slowly. "This woman will freeze to death if nobody cares for her. Everyone has probably gone to the church by now. But when you come back, be sure and bring someone to help her. I will stay here and try to keep her from freezing, and perhaps get her to eat a roll that I have in my pocket." "But I can't leave you," cried the little brother. "Both of us need not to miss the service," said Pedro. "You must see and hear everything twice, once for you and once for me. I'm sure the Christ child knows how I would love to worship him. And if you get a chance, take this silver piece of mine, and when no one is looking, lay it down for my offering." In this way, he hurried his little brother off to the city and winked hard to keep back his tears of disappointment. The great church was a brilliant place that night, It had never looked so beautiful. When the organ played and the thousands of people sang, the walls shook with the sound. At the close of the service came the procession with the offerings to be laid on the altar. Some brought jewels, some heavy baskets of gold. A famous writer laid down a book he had been writing for years. And last of all walked the king of the country, hoping with all the rest to win for himself the chime of the Christmas bells. A great murmur went through the church as the king took from his head the royal crown, all set with precious stones, and laid it on the altar. Surely, everyone said, we will hear the bells ring now. But the cold wind was all that they heard in the tower. The procession was over and the choir began the closing hymn. Suddenly, the organist stopped playing. The singing ceased. Not a sound could be heard from anyone in the church as all the people strained their ears to listen. There came softly but distinctly the sound of the chimes in the tower. So far away and yet so clear, the music seemed so much sweeter than anything ever heard before. Then they all stood up together and looked at the altar to see what great gift had awakened the long, silent bells. But all they saw was the childish figure of Pedro's little brother, who had crept softly down the aisle when no one was looking and laid Pedro's little piece of silver on the altar.
Very few months ago, Brielle was featured soloist, piano solo, at the symphony for Walla Walla. And I just thought, we've got her here. There is no reason we shouldn't have the opportunity to hear piano solo right here in the Yuma Pine Church. So thank you, Brielle, for agreeing to do that.
Thank you.
It's one thing to be used by God, ourselves. It's another thing to have been Mary. It's a whole different level. The Bible says that Mary treasured the things in her heart. And I can't imagine what it would be like to kind of watch as things unfold for the next many years. This next song that we're going to do is Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your little baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to this child that you deliver will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby will be sent to lullaby boy? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby
Christmas Miracle of Jonathan Toomey by Susan Wojcikowski. I can't say it right. Starts with a W. The village children called him Mr. Gloomy, but his name was Toomey, Mr. Jonathan Toomey. And though it is not kind to call people names, this one fit quite well. For Jonathan Toomey seldom smiled, never laughed, and went about mumbling and grumbling, muttering and sputtering, grumping and griping. Mr. Toomey was a woodcarver.
His face was mostly hidden under a shaggy, untrimmed beard, speckled with sawdust, wood shavings, and crumbs of bread or bits of potato. One day in early December, there was a knock at Jonathan's door. Mumbling and grumbling, he went to answer it. There stood a woman and a young boy. "I'm the Widow McDowell. I'm new to the village. This is my son, Thomas."
"I'm 7, and I know how to whistle," said Thomas.
"Whistling is pish-posh," said the woodcarver gruffly.
"I need something carved," said the woman, and she told Jonathan about a set of Christmas figures her grandfather had carved for her when she was a girl. "After I moved here, I discovered they were lost."
"Could you describe them for me?"
"There were sheep. 2 of them with curly wool," added Thomas. "Yes, 2. And a cow, an angel, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, and the wise men." "Will you take the job?" asked the Widow McDowell.
"I will."
"I'm grateful. How soon can you have them ready?"
"They will be ready when they are ready," said Jonathan gruffly, and he shut the door.
The following week, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Muttering and sputtering, he went to answer it. There stood the Widow McDowell and Thomas. "Excuse me," said the widow, "but Thomas has been begging to come and watch you work."
"I'll be quiet. You won't even know I'm here. Please, please," piped in Thomas.
With a grumble, the woodcarver stepped aside to let them in. He pointed to a stool near his workbench. "No talking, no jiggling, no noise," he ordered Thomas.
The Widow McDowell handed Mr. Toomey a warm loaf of bread, then took out her knitting and sat down in a rocking chair in the far corner of the cottage.
"Not there," bellowed the woodcarver. "No one sits in that chair."
So she moved to the straight-backed chair by the fire. Thomas sat very still. After a long time, Thomas whispered,
"Mr. Toomey, may I ask a question?"
The woodcarver glared at Thomas, then shrugged and grunted. Thomas decided that meant yes, so he went on,
"Is that my sheep you're carving?"
The woodcarver nodded and grunted again.
"Mr. Toomey, excuse me, but you're carving my sheep wrong."
The Widow McDowell's knitting needles stopped clicking. Jonathan Toomey's knife stopped carving.
Thomas went on,
"It's a beautiful sheep, nice and curly, but my sheep looked happy."
"That's pish-posh," said Mr. Toomey. "Sheep are sheep. They cannot look happy."
"Mine did. They knew they were with the baby Jesus, so they were happy."
After that, Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. When the church bells chimed at 6 o'clock, Mr. Toomey grumbled under his breath about the noise. The Widow McDowell said it was time to leave, and Thomas sneezed 3 times. After a supper of bread and boiled potatoes, the woodcarver sat down at his bench and picked up his knife and the sheep. He worked until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Griping and grumbling, he went to answer it.
"May I watch again? I'll be quiet," said Thomas.
He settled himself quietly on the stool while his mother laid a basket of sweet-smelling raisin buns on the table.
The teapot is warm," Mr. Toomey said gruffly.
While he carved, the Widow McDowell poured tea. She placed a cup of tea and a bun next to him. He pretended not to notice, but soon both plate and cup were empty. After a very long time, Thomas whispered,
"Mr. Toomey, excuse me, may I ask a question?"
Grunt.
"Is that my cow you're carving?"
Nod and grunt.
"I must tell you something. That is a beautiful cow, the most beautiful cow I've ever seen, but it's not right. My cow looked proud."
"That's pish-posh," growled the woodcarver. "Cows are cows. They cannot look proud."
"My cow did. It knew Jesus chose to be born in its barn, so it was proud."
Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes and raisin buns, the woodcarver sat down at his bench. He picked up his carving knife and the cow. He worked until his eyelids drooped shut.
A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. He smoothed down his hair as he went to answer it. It was the widow and her son. "May I watch again?" asked Thomas. As Mrs. McDowell warmed the tea and put a plate of fresh molasses cookies on the workbench, Thomas watched the woodcarver work on the figure of an angel. After a long time, Thomas spoke. "Mr. Toomey, is that my angel you're carving?" "Yes. And what am I doing wrong?" "Well, my angel looked like one of God's most important angels because it was sent to baby Jesus." After another very long time, Thomas spoke. "Mr. Toomey, excuse me, may I ask a question?" "Do you ever stop talking?" asked the woodcarver. "My mother says I don't. She says I could learn about the virtue of silence from you." Under his beard, the woodcarver's face turned pink. The widow McDowell's face turned as red as the scarf she was knitting. "Well, speak up. What's your question?"
"Will you please teach me to carve?"
"I'm a very busy man," grumbled the woodcarver, but he put down the important angel. "You will carve a bird." He handed Thomas a small block of pine and a knife. He showed him how to lop the corners from the block and slowly smooth the edges of the wood into curves. Thomas copied the woodcarver's strokes, head bent, tongue working from side to side on his lower lip as he concentrated. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Jonathan Toomey was holding Thomas's hand in his, guiding the knife along the edge of a wing. He didn't hear the bells. The widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas brushed wood carvings from shavings from his shirt, then reached out and brushed 2 especially large pieces from Jonathan Toomey's beard. Later, after a supper of boiled potatoes and molasses cookies, Jonathan Toomey went to his workbench. He thought for a long time. He sketched drawing after drawing. Finally, he picked up his carving knife. He picked up the angel. He carved until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the door. Mr. Toomey jumped up to answer it. There stood Mrs. McDowell with a bouquet of pine boughs and holly sprigs dotted with berries, and there stood Thomas, clutching his partly carved robin. While Thomas and Mr. Toomey carved, Mrs. McDowell put the bouquet in a jar of water. She set the jar in the center of Mr. Toomey's kitchen table on a pretty cloth she found in a drawer below the cupboard. "Next, I will carve the wise men and Joseph," the woodcarver said to Thomas. "Perhaps, before I begin, you can tell me about them."
"Well," said Thomas, "my wise men were wearing their most wonderful clothes because they were going to visit Jesus. And my Joseph was leaning over baby Jesus like he was protecting him. He looked very serious."
It wasn't until the church bells had chimed and they were preparing to go that Mr. Toomey saw the jar of pine boughs and the cloth on the table.
"I found the cloth in the drawer. I thought it would look pretty on the table,"
the widow McDowell said, smiling. "Never open that drawer," the woodcarver said harshly. When the two had left, Jonathan put the cloth away. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes, the woodcarver worked on Joseph and the wise men until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. He dusted the crumbs from his beard and brushed the sawdust from his shirt. At the door were the widow McDowell and Thomas. All afternoon, Thomas watched the woodcarver work. When it was time to leave, Jonathan said to Thomas, "I'm about to begin the last 2 figures, Mary and the baby. Can you tell me how your figures looked?"
"They were the most special of all," Thomas said. "Jesus was smiling and reaching up to his mother, and Mary looked like she loved him very much."
"Thank you, Thomas," said the woodcarver.
"Tomorrow is Christmas. Is there any chance the figures will be ready?" the widow McDowell asked.
"They will be ready when they are ready."
"I understand," said the widow.
Then she handed Jonathan 2 packages.
"Merry Christmas," she said.
Jonathan folded his arms across his chest. "I want no gifts," he said harshly.
"That is exactly why we are giving them," answered the widow.
She put them down on the table. Jonathan sat down at the table. Slowly he opened the first package. Inside was a red scarf, hand-knit, warm, and bright. The second package held a robin, crudely carved of pine. A smile twitched at the corners of Jonathan's mouth as he ran his fingers over the lopsided wings. He dusted the fireplace mantle and placed the robin exactly at the center. The woodcarver did not eat supper that day. Instead, he began to sketch the final figures, Mary and Jesus. He drew Mary, then wadded the sketch into a ball and tossed it on the floor. He drew the baby, wadded the sketch, and tossed it with the first, again and again until there was a small mountain of crumpled papers at his feet. He picked up a block of wood and tried to carve, but his knife would not do what he wanted it to. He hurled the wood into the fire and sat staring into the flames. Finally, he got up. Slowly, he opened the drawer beneath the cupboard, the drawer he had told the widow never to open. From the bottom of the drawer, he lifted out a picture frame. In the frame was a charcoal sketch of a woman sitting in a rocking chair holding a baby. The baby's arms were reaching up, touching the woman's face. The woman was looking down at the baby, smiling. Jonathan sat down in his rocking chair and held the picture against his chest. He rocked slowly. Two tears trailed into his beard. Then he took the picture to his workbench and began to carve. His fingers worked quickly and surely. He carved all through the night. The next day, there was a knock on the Widow McDowell's door. When she opened it, there stood the woodcarver, his neck wrapped in a red scarf, holding a wooden box stuffed with straw. "Mr. Toomey," said the widow, "what a surprise! Merry Christmas!" "The figures are ready," he said as he stepped inside. From the box, Jonathan unpacked two curly sheep. Happy sheep, because they were with Jesus. He unpacked a proud cow and a very important angel with mighty wings stretching from its shoulders right down to the hem of its gown. He unpacked three wise men wearing their most wonderful robes, edged with fur and falling in rich folds. He unpacked a serious and caring Joseph. He unpacked Mary, looking down, loving her precious baby son. Jesus was smiling and reaching up to touch his mother's face. That day, Jonathan went to the Christmas service with the Widow McDowell and Thomas, and that day in the churchyard, the village children saw Jonathan throw back his head and laugh. No one ever called him Mr. Gloomy again.
Shepherd, a teacher. creature is what you could be. Or maybe a fisherman out on the sea.
Or maybe a carpenter building things. But who would imagine a king?
It was so clear when the wise men arrived and the angels were singing your name. That the world would be different 'cause you were alive. That's when heaven stood still to proclaim.
Our last song for the program started out like many hymns, actually, that we have in our hymnal, believe it or not, where it was not a a sacred song with religious lyrics to begin with. The song is called Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, and it has had many people put different lyrics to it, and this particular set of lyrics is a Christmas theme. Hallelujah.
The fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah.
Christ who still every breath you draw.
One more song with us in closing, Silent Night. We're going to do this two verses, and then we're going to go back and sing the first verse a cappella. So be ready for that.
Sacrifice that was made to give us hope and a future. Lord, you love us so much. Lord, help us to embrace that, how much you love us by loving those around us. Lord, as we think about the words of the songs sung today, let those penetrate our heart and recreate our souls to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Time to eat.